Okay, Chevra, so we're continuing to our Mukta. If you remember, most of what we spoke about so far has been the source of the dinim of Mukta, whether Gezeiras Kalim is the same as paradigmatic Mukta or not. Right? Paradigmatic Mukta means something that's set aside, useless, etc. Gezeiras Kalim means I can't use something. The history, whether it's from David HaMelech or whether it is from Nehemiah, we discussed that issue. And in terms of Kli Sham Lachto LeIsser, which is movable Letzarich Gufo and Letzarich Mekomo, is something that we focused a lot of time on. And then last time we began a section called Moving Mukta, which is on the top of page 8 in the source sheets. Right. So basically, the halacha is again, if I pick up a kli shemalachto le'iser, and let's say I pick it up with tzarech gufo, with tzarech makomo, so in that situation, I'm allowed to move it anywhere I want. Right? I could put the scissor back after opening up my Amazon package, which apparently was the biggest fetish anyone ever learned in Hilchos Shabbos, but that's just the way these things work. So I could put the scissors back where they came from, and that is grand. So that is the regular dinim of Tiltul Mukta. Kli Sham Lachto LeIsser is Mutter Letzorech Gufo and Letzorech Mekomo. Tzorech Gufo is if I need the scissor to open the Amazon package. Tzorech Mekomo is if I have, let's say, the scissor on my window so I can't open the window without it, so I can move the scissor for Tzorech Gufo and for Tzorech Mekomo. There are other situations that I'm allowed to move Mukta. And in this, what I'm referring to is not only Kli Sham Lachto LeIsser, but even paradigmatic mukta. Right? So even if I have a stick of stone, etc. So there are other cases that I'm allowed to move the mukta. The last thing that we spoke about last time, which was sort of going out of order, the last thing that we spoke about last time was that I'm allowed to move a mukta with my body, right? That tilto begufo is mutter in terms of moving mukta, right? So we spoke about how, according to the Mishnah Brura, what that means, I can move mukta even letzorech the mukta, right? Usually a kli sham lachto le'iser, I'm allowed to move letzorech gufo, letzorech mekomo. I'm not allowed to move a kli sham lachto le'iser, let's say, for the tzorech of the mukta. If I'm worried that my hammer is going to be stolen, so I can't move it, right? I can only move it tzorech gufo, tzorech mekomo. If I'm worried that my hammer is going to be stolen, so what I could do is I can move my hammer begufi. I could use my body to move the hammer because that is probably not at all analogous to carrying. Right? Again, if I'm in Ravid world, that the source of the Isser of Tiltul, Kli Sham Lachto LeIsser, is because I might come to carry, so then I'm only going to be in violation of carrying if I pick something up with my hand. If I move it in my elbow, right, I don't violate the Isser of carrying. That's considered a shinui. So Tiltul Begufo is also going to be permitted, even Letzorech the Kli Sham Lachto LeIsser. And Tiltul Begufo is even mutter for Mukta Mamish, for Mukta Machmas Gufo. Let's say I have, we mentioned that, right, this is the Musar Shmuz of the year, that money is considered Mukta Machmas Gufo because money is useless. This is brought to us by the People's Republic of China and the former Union of Soviet Socialist Republics and Cuba and all those other failed countries that believe in communism. Brandy, please don't tell your brother. But the point is that money is useless. Money is useless. Money is considered muksa machmas gufo. If I'm walking down the street and there's a neighbor, and I see that there is some money, and I want the money, so what do I do? I'm allowed probably to go like this, although that's like somewhat uncomfortable. What I could probably do is kick the money to an area where the money is going to be protected. Then after Shabbos, I could come by and take the money, right? Because that's Tilto Muktzah, right? Big goofy. Litzorich Lemuktzah, right? Litzorich my pocket, whatever it is, and that's going to be okay. Now, this is true according to the Mishnah Berurah. The Chazon Ish says that this is not true at all. The source of this Mishnah Berurah is a Mishnah and a Gemara on Kuf Mem Aleph. We say that if I have kasha al gabei hamita, if I have straw that's on top of the bed, so the halacha is I'm allowed to lie down on the bed. Why am I allowed to lie down on the bed? So the answer is because it is tilto mukta. The kash is mukta, but I'm moving it litzorech. What? Litzorech, nothing. L'chora, right? I'm moving it begufi, and that's why it's okay. That's how the Mishnah Berurah understands the halacha. The Chazon Ish understands, says, no, dude, you're totally messing this one up. Because over there, I'm lying down on the bed. Right? So what I'm doing is I'm not moving mukta letzorech the mukta. It's not tilto begufi letzorech the mukta. It's tilto begufi letzorech, right, my lying down. And that is much better, says the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish holds, I am not allowed to kick a coin because I want the coin later on. Right? I'm not allowed to do it letzorech, right, protecting the item. I'm allowed to do it letzorech me to lie down. That is called tiltul begufo, right? Everybody holds that tiltul begufo is okay. It's beferish in the Russian explaining that Mishnah that that's okay. But what does that mean? The Mishnah Berurah says what it means is that I'm moving the mukta letzorech the mukta. The Chazon Ish says all it means is that I'm moving the mukta letzorech lying down, and that is going to be okay. So that is the first situation I want to discuss about tiltul mukta begufi, which the Mishnah Berurah permits. And in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa 2.0 in the back, he has an essay that Reb Shlomo Zalman paskened like the Mishnah Berurah, not like the Chazon Ish. In the Mukta book by Rabbi Bodner, he has some tshuvas in the back from Rav Moshe Feinstein and from Shlomo Zalman, etc. And he begins in one of his tshuvas by saying that in his opinion, it's not mutter. Yeah, where is it? This is Tshuva Lamed Beis. All these are found in Chelakei of Igros Moshe, Simen Chaf Beis. And this is number Lamed Beis. They've been reprinted in the Igros Moshe, but originally appeared here in the back of Rabbi Bodner's book. Answers Teshuva. Asur letalto begufa letzorech hamukta. Achein imhu davar nachutz mutter. Right? So, what does that mean exactly? If it's a davar nachutz, then it's mutter. And then he continues, Ubedin tilto kol achayad, hisberli maron shlita. Rav Moshe explains to Rabbi Badner, the tilto aide achore yadav. Lo bara de chashev like kol achayad, de lo chashev kino, de lo chashev shinoi kol kach. Achein b'mafreiko, chashev kol achayad. Meaning, if I want to move it with the back of my hand, this is not necessarily enough of a shinoi. But if I want to move it in my elbow, that is a shinoi. So Rav Moshe holds that tilto muktzah begufo is okay. Letzorech the davar that is the muktzah. Letzorech the muktzah. Only if it's nachutz. I don't know exactly what that means. If it's like really essential. Maybe there's a difference between if you find a quarter and you find like $500. Like what exactly, where did I draw the line? I don't know. But tilto muktzah begufo, that's what Moshe's p'sak. Rav Shlomo Zalman is much more make on tilto muktzah begufo. And that's that tshuva that we, that's the tshuva that we mentioned earlier. Which Yeah. And so that's the tshuva that in the back of the Shmir Shabbos 2.0, where he's Meko over there. So that's the first yesod. Good. Next, other dinim in moving muktzah. So it says in Shulchan Aruch Siman Reish Samach Vav. Right. Let's say I forgot my wallet, and my wallet is on me on Shabbos. So the Rama writes, "Misha shachach kiso olav b'Shabbos imhu b'beiso, yochol leilich imo lacheder lahatir chaguro v'lipo sham lahatznio." Okay, so I'm at home. I guess my wallet somehow is attached to my belt, so I could walk into the other room, undo my belt, the wallet will fall down. Imhu b'shuk. Aser lahavio lebeso, rak matir chaguro b'shuk v'hu nofel, v'omer la'ina yehudi l'shomro, v'mevio ein lachosh. Right, so if I'm outside, so apparently, what, there's going to be some concern of carrying and the like, so I can't just go into my house. So what I do is I have to drop the wallet and ask a goy to watch the wallet for me. If the guy decides, Slobodan is in a good mood, so he decides to be nice and to take the wallet into my house, so that's okay.
And you can ask them to go watch it because that's not doing
I'm
anything.
not doing anything. Like, and the Slobodan's gonna stay there, like watch my wallet, and yeah, that's gonna be okay. That's the way he says it. But then he goes on in the Bir Halacha. If it's a kli and it didn't become a basis, right? For example, a basis means that you intentionally left the money in the wallet and the plan was that it should be there. Let's say I have, instead of a regular wallet, I have a bag, and the wallet is in my bag. I didn't intentionally leave it there, so the bag is not a basis. So if I have a kiss that has a Torah's kli, but it's not a basis, kevan sheinicha b'shichacha mutar l'tal'tel l'tzorach makoma, l'chein takef, etc. Right? So he says like this: if I have a kli, the kli is not a basis, it is mutter to move it letzorech mekoma. It's considered like a kli shemlach dola iser. Therefore, I can move it. I could move it. Im haya biyado, yachol alicha latev, I could put it into a box. Okay, so let's go back. We discussed earlier the halacha is if I'm moving mukta, moving a kli shamato iser, letzorach gufo makomo, I can put it anywhere. What about if I pick it up, not letzorach gufo makomo, can I move it anywhere? So the Mishnah Berurah had a discussion way back when on page 6. He quotes the Magen Avraham that if it's shachach v'not labiyado, I can move it anywhere. That's on page 6, the Mishnah Berurah Sifkatin Yud Gimel. So here in the Bir Halacha and Reish Samach Vav, he continues on that idea. He says that if I have a pouch, which is not a basis, so therefore it is only like a kli shemlach dola iser. So therefore, I could put it anywhere, even though I accidentally picked it up. That's like that Magen Avraham that he quoted earlier. But if it is something that's muktzah begufo, so then I have to drop it right away, with the exception of yizamo shamila, etc. My izemo shamila, I'm allowed to put it elsewhere. But if I'm holding a stone, or the stone is a basis, then they have to drop it right away. That's the way he quotes it. Yeah.
So having a wallet is better than having coins or like cash, I
So
guess.
if I have a wallet, so the wallet has money in it, so that's a basis for davar ha'aser. But I'm not talking about a wallet. I'm talking about just a bag that happens to have money in it. So then it's a keli, right? If it's a basis means that you intend, I'm assuming that I intend to leave my money in my wallet. That's where it should go. If I happen to forget money in the bag, that is better than just holding the money itself. Right? Because the bag does not become a basis to the money. It's not like I'm carrying the money directly. It's like I'm moving the bag. So that is going to be okay. So that's the next situation we wanted to talk about in terms of moving mukta, right? Which is that if you happen to have your wallet, etc. The third halacha, which is halacha of Toto Menatzar. Okay, I should have probably begun this section of Toto Menatzar. Toto min hatzad means as follows. If I move a mukta item with a non-mukta item, right? Example, I have a knife. A knife is not mukta, correct? And I have pistachio, what do they call it? The shells of pistachio nuts, which are really mukta, or shells of walnuts, right? Pistachio nuts, some people say they might not be mukta because you could still suck off the saltiness on them, no?
Or you can use it
Or you use it to open up the next one. So it's not necessary. But I think the shells of a walnut, somehow mukta is all about shelling walnuts. That's the basic yisod of like all of Hilchos Mukta. But if I have walnut shells on my table, so those things are really mukta, is there anything that I could do with it? I don't want the walnut shells on my table. Now, what the halacha is that there's a thing called tilto min hatzad. Tilto min hatzad means I use a heter item to move the isra item. For example, my knife is heter. I'm going to use my knife to move my walnut shells. Tilto min hatzad, the halacha is, it's mutter l'tzorich davar ha-mutter, but it's aser l'tzorich davar ha-aser. It depends on what my purpose is. Right? So if I have the Taz Paskins, and I think this is accepted, lahalacha, if I have my walnut shells on the table, I'm allowed to take my knife and push them away. Right? It's l'tzarech davar ha-mutter. I'm basically doing it because I want the table, I want the makom, that's okay. But if I would be l'tzarech davar ha-aser, although I'd have to be creative with this one, that I'm moving it because I want to protect the walnut shells for later on, so then that would be a problem.
What kind of looks are you?
Even muksa machmas gufo.
Oh, that's
Even
the
a walnut shell is useless.
money.
Money.
It's a backdoor, like, Sora.
Yes.
That's pretty.
In other words, even though I don't have a heter for money to move it to Tzarech Mekomo, but I have a din of Toto min hatzad, which is mutter l'tzorich davar ha-mutter. Hopefully, if not today, maybe next time we learn, we'll talk about that there might be one situation where there is no heter of Toto min hatzad. But the pashtus is I have 2 14th Amendments, 2 elastic clauses to be matir mukta. There's Toto begufo, which I could do even l'tzorich davar ha'aser, right? I can move my mukta with my foot, according to Mishnah Berurah, for the mukta, or I can move the mukta with a knife. Letzorech a davar hamutter, letzorech the table, right? And that's what it says here in Shulchan Aruch. Toto min hatzad letzorech davar mutter is mutter. If I have a tzinon shetaman ba'aretz u'miktas olav megulim v'lo hishrish. The gam lo niskaven lezriya notlo afal pi shemtiloso mezes afar mimkomo. Basically, I have a radish which is in the ground. I did not intend to plant the radish. The radish happens to be in the ground. Why is it there? Freknish kankashas, I don't know. There are leaves of the radish extending past the ground. I can pick it up and take it out. It is not hishrish yet, right? It didn't begin to develop roots. So therefore, I'm not violating a malacha of kotzer when they pick it up. The only iser is mukta. I'm moving the dirt, which is around the radish. Dirt is useless, right? So dirt is mukta. But I'm moving the dirt al yedei adavar hamutter because my radish is mutter. So if I'm doing it letzorech adavar hamutter, if I'm doing it letzorech, I want to eat the radish, that's great. Right? That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Even if my intention was I leave the radish there, I intended it to be there the whole Shabbos. There's a special halacha. There's no such thing as a basis, right? By food, right? Food can't become a basis. Food is by definition, it is like a yeshiva bachur svara squared. Food is by definition more chashuv than whatever is on it, right? So therefore, right, the radish, you can have 20 pounds of dirt on top of the radish. Right? You can have a $10 bill on the radish. You intended on leaving it the whole time. The food is much more chashuv. This is a yeshiva bachur svara. Agreed? And then the Mishnah, then the Mechaber writes this idea that we spoke about already. Toto begufo is muta even litzorech davar ha'aser, and therefore kash on gabi hamita, right, which is presumably that you want the kash to burn it. Yemena'ano begufo, etc. You can move it with your body. That's the halacha that we spoke about last time. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah paskens. If I move the stuff, al yedei davar acher, that's a total begufo. Just like if I move the dirt, al yedei the radish. If I move the walnut shells, al yedei a knife, that's going to be mutter im hu tzarech leishtamesh b'makom shemunach sham ha'atzamas ha'klipin, dezeh mikrei tilto min hatzad, v'shari im hu letzarech davar ha'mutter, etc. That's one halacha. So now I have so far two ways to permit moving mukta that are great, right? Tilto min hatzad, tilto begufo, and then there's another thing which is not as great, which is yucky. It's called graf shari'i. I have like really disgusting graf shari'i. Literally, is a bedpan. Graf shari'i. If you look in the Mishnah Berurah, the end of Sifkot and Kuf Tesvav. Im niskabtzu harbei biyachad uma'os alav, la nichana hashochan. If you have a lot of walnuts and it's disgusting to leave it on the table, it's like really yucky. You have like piles of the stuff, so you're allowed to move it biyadayim because it's a graf shari'i, right? It's like a bedpan, disgusting stuff. You're allowed to move. It's effectively like a din of kavod habrios almost. I can move it regularly if it's a really disgusting thing. Okay, so I don't know how many of you I have ever experienced, but there are these creepy things in the Heights sometimes. People call them mice. If you're really zeicha, you get whatever. We don't want to mention it by name, but if you're really zeicha, you can get those things. And let's say you trap one of those on Shabbos. Now, again, I'm not allowed to put out the trap on Shabbos. I can't put out my mouse trap on Shabbos. I happen to be a very bad person. I use glue traps also. I know that all the animal rights people say that glue traps are like really bad for the mice, and like the little things that they have in Woody Woodpecker are much better to like kill the mice with like the clamping down thing. It's like much healthier, saner, more humane, basic nish. But let's say I have glue traps. You're allowed to have the glue traps out from Erev Shabbos, no? Okay. You trap the mouse on Shabbos. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes when the mouse gets, I don't know, is anyone squeamish? But sometimes when the mouse gets caught on a glue trap, the mouse tries to fight its way. And the mouse can move the glue trap. I don't leave my glue trap like in the middle of the kitchen floor. I'll leave my glue trap under the radiator, no? When the mouse ends up on the glue trap, the mouse doesn't want to be in that glue trap. So he's going to move here, there, and yonder. And you're going to wake up Shabbos morning. And you're gonna have a. What? I whatever. I'm not going to comment on how often this. There's certain things that we will leave better unexplained. Okay, so you wake up Shabbos morning, and I don't know, little. We have to name him. We'll give him a name. What? How about we'll call him Mias? Mias the mouse.
Okay.
Right? So you find Mias the mouse is in the middle of your kitchen floor. That is a graph shari'i. It's really disgusting. My guess is most people find mice more disgusting than piled up nuts on their table. Fair? All in agreement. So now if the mouse is alive, and by moving it, I might be killing the mouse, potentially. So then I can't move it. Because you're not allowed to kill animals on Shabbos. No? That's a malacha of shochet or something. Right? So if I know I'm not going to kill the mouse, I could be very gentle. Right? I could take the mouse very gently and put the mouse in the garbage outside. Right? Very gently put it down. The mouse is not going to die in that process. Or if the mouse is already dead, which often happens, it's a graf shari'i. It's disgusting. Do we all agree it's disgusting? I can see by Tamara's face. Totally. I'm there. Right? So the thing is that the mouse is a graf shari'i. I'm allowed to move a graf shari'i. Normally, that's another heter of tiltal muktzah. Okay? This could come up with little kids. Right? There's disgusting things. You're allowed to move it normally. It's disgusting. That's graf shari'i. Right? But the Mishnah Berurah has a chiddush is that even a lot of walnuts together is a graf shari'i, and I'm allowed to move it. Again, like it's probably like super yucky of all these like piles of nuts. It just looks disgusting on the table.
So the garbage.
So to move a garbage, so if so. That's why I gave the case of my mouse that my mouse is no longer under the baseboard. But if it's under the baseboard, so it's not a graf shari'i, it's not a graf shari'i because what's it called? If it's under the baseboard, it's like you're not going to notice it. But if the mouse ends up in the middle of the floor, so now what about moving a garbage on Shabbos? Keep.
Even close the garbage on top.
You can close it. Well, I
I
mean,
think
like, I
you
can't
can.
tie in that.
Yeah.
So,
It's ready to go by the door. Can you take it out on top? Is it?
so to take. So it depends what is in the what's in the garbage bag. If here, let's go. Page. He has page 89 and 114. When the owner throws a broken utensil into the garbage before Shabbos, the broken utensil is muktzah. The reason for this is that the owner, by throwing it away, demonstrates he does not intend to use it. It ceases to be utensil. If the owner throws the broken utensil away on Shabbos, he may change his mind and remove it from the garbage should he find some use for it. I don't know what that means. But basically, the broken utensil that is in the garbage is considered muktzah. If it's a whole utensil, so then it's not classified as muktzah. If you throw the whole utensil into the garbage, you can remove it, etc. Okay, so far so good. Now, what about removing the garbage itself? We discussed that sometimes utensils which are thrown in the garbage are not muktzah. Usable food items in the garbage are also not muktzah. However, many items found in the garbage are muktzah. Therefore, since many garbage items are muktzah, it's suggested one should not move the garbage or his garbage can on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Regarding moving the can indirectly, using one's body, that's okay. Where there are foul odors that emanate from the garbage and they cause discomfort to people, theoretically, so then the garbage can be removed because that is called a graf shari'i. Okay?
Even if your garbage is full, like I'm 2 days after whatever, you could always just take the garbage and bring it outside and.
Yeah, correct.
How do you not tie the garbage bag on top?
So to tie the garbage bag with a double knot is a malach of kosher. There is a slight discussion in Poskim. One of the issues, actually, this might not be a bad chabura in terms of diapering babies on Shabbos. One of the issues in diapering babies is,
Yeah.
Right? So they have these like little tabs on the diapers. Now, technically, that might be toe fare when you put it together because you're using a third thing to unite two things. I have like my Velcro stuff or whatever it is that holds it together. So after you, when you put the diaper on the baby, you're allowed to put it there. You're allowed to attach it because that's considered tfirashein l'shel kayama, which we're makelon. Shouldn't be makel with ne'ama aretz, but if it's something that everybody does, it's mutter. So you're allowed to diaper babies on Shabbos. Deep breath, that's fine. But when the baby is done with the diaper, so the putting the tabs back on is a shaila of tofer, and it might be shel kayama. The shaila is it considered shel kayama if I'm going to throw it in the garbage? Right? If I'm never going to use it again, maybe it's shel kayama only if I want it to remain. If I want to throw it out, maybe it's not shel kayama. Most poskim are machmir that the best thing to do with a diaper is just like drop it in a plastic bag or something and then throw it away. You shouldn't like re-tab it up. There's a shaila, I drop a diaper in a plastic bag. One of the dima muksas is called being mevatel kli mehichano, taking something that was a keli and making it unusable. There's a steer in Rashi's. The pashtus is that's like a din of soser. So it could be that putting a diaper into a plastic bag is usher because I'm being soser the plastic bag. That's what some people are very machmir on. Rav Shlomo Zalman assumes that it's not a problem because any like really flimsy keli, there can't be soser on the keli. So the plastic bag isn't enough of a keli, what's it called, to be a problem. Whatever, in my former life, one of my previous brothers-in-law was very machmir on this. He wouldn't put the diapers into plastic bags. He was worried about being bittul kli meichanan. He'd like walk through the house and like throw it into like the main garbage or something. It's like this grossed me out. But not tie it up.
No, the tab, meaning
Not
like
with the
that.
tabs, hey. Just hold it like hold it lahavda like a dead mouse, and then you yes.
A diaper in the diaper pail, so it's already yucky, and then I could put more
Again, if
like
it's already in the if it's already in the diaper pail, so it's already yucky. I mean, we pass in any the diaper pail like this. If I remember correctly, the stuff that's inside it's almost like a little plasticky, like nothing of a bag. It's not like a significant keli by any way,
it's cool
right?
that you're not being so scared
It's
garbage, but also mine, it's very interesting how they do it. It's actually one long continuous piece of
and
plastic.
like you twist it or something.
But I go to someone else's house, so I didn't bring my garbage pail. So in sometimes I am one of those guests. So we have these little doggy bags where you're saying better throw it
That's
right in the
no, but
shitter.
even in the little dark doggy bag, it's fine
That's not like a
because
real.
we paskin, it's not bittul kli mehichano because it's like a flimsy kli that's going to be thrown out right away. Yeah, that's what Rav Shlomo Zalman paskins. Like, yeah.
That's tefillah. I can do all these things, meaning like I often take out the garbage right up when I'm finished cooking for Shabbos, tie it up, put it by the door, and then I light candles on my way to shul. I take out, like, I can leave it there on purpose.
I think that's again. It's probably better if you could take it out before Shabbos. It's probably better, but
I know. My point is to do that because I want all the garbage from the time for Shabbos to get it out. And also, could you do anything preventative? Like right now, it's not grafa, but if I leave it. Then it will.
yeah. So if I know it's going to be graf shari'i later on, it's going to smell like pretty soon. By the time I wake up in the morning, it's going to be all smelly. So I could move it now, I think. Yeah.
We use that for like our soup bowl that we serve? If you don't want to say that like our the pot is also a storage thing, you can just say, but I don't want it out all night or all day.
And so that's the question, like how,
I guess.
yeah, how far can I go with graf shari'i? I think most people are not so mifunak about having little bits of dirt inside their pans. No?
Okay. More like my chicken feet. Like we didn't finish it. If I leave it for the next morning, I'm saying if I thought that the pot was a problem, but it has food.
Okay.
Right, is the ultimate.
I think so.
But why else? Well, why are we having a conversation about putting a pot in the fridge if there's no food?
Now, if there's a little bit of food in it or something, does it make the pot a cliche? It's putting the pot in the fridge or putting the pot in the oven?
away. I thought it was going
No,
back
at
away.
first we were talking about right, no, it's putting the pot in the fridge, the shaila is because the pot then is a klishim laftola isra and a klishim laftola heter. It's intended to cook and it's intended to store.
Mine's an empty pot.
And, right.
Okay, I don't know why I said
No,
that.
no. Here,
You're talking about this. Yeah,
let
okay.
me just read you this book. You see, the advantage of this, I realized this morning that this book is a better book to use for Muktzah than the Orchos Shabbos. The Orchos Shabbos has like too much detail, and I think the cases over here, I can read it to you in English. Bedpan, soiled diapers, diaper pails may be carried to the bathroom and out of the house under the exception called graf shari'i. Nagelwasser water, right? Can
That's not
also
good.
be. Huh?
That's very good. Well, it's filled with rough rough. It wasn't rough enough. That's funny.
Here, pots and pans are klishim laftola iser. Unwashed pots and pans may be moved to the sink under the exception of graf shari'i. Right? That's what you're asking about. Garbage is foul smelling, it's considered miyus, and it can be removed under the exception of graf shari'i. Empty garbage cans, which are foul smelling, may also be removed. Based on this exception. And if it's foul smelling, if it's a clean smelling one, so that's another big kula we have about moving muktzah. Okay?
If a baby spits up on like anything,
If it's really disgusting, yeah. If it's like in public, again, if it's like in a private small area, so just like you avoid it. But if it's, right? Again, I tried to give a case that I felt would, illustrate the point well, which I think I was successful in. Fine. There is another kula of moving muktzah, which is that people might get injured. Glass breaks. Broken glass is muktzah, right? But, right, if it breaks on the table, I'm allowed to move it. However, if it breaks in an area that no one's going to go, so then you can't move it. The thing is, when you have little kids around, you got to be extremely careful because they could go anywhere. So I think it's not muktzah at all in those cases. This comes from it's a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Mem about a kotz brishus harabim, etc. You could see those things. A davar that's disgusting. He gives you a few examples in the Shulchan Aruch. That's going to be okay. You're even if let's say you have something that's a disgusting item. And the disgusting item is not in a place that is really bothering you, but the kid might come in contact with it, and then the kid's going to get disgusting. So you're allowed to be kofa kli on top of that disgusting item. Okay, that's the basic halacha they want moving. That's the halacha that we wanted to talk about. All right, let's try this. One second. Yeah,
So
we're with you.
yeah, sorry to the many baby questions, but let's say a lot of things in your apartment could injure your baby. Like it might be Shabbos and they decide to like jump on the like mini heater that's on. So can you move that away? Like usually you try and move the baby, but if they're like holding on to something that it looks up.
Okay, so the issue is as follows. If a baby is holding a stone on Shabbos, so the Mishnayos on Kuf Mem Aleph speak about that you should try not to move the baby while the baby's holding the stone. If the baby has what's called Ga'aguin, and the baby's like all crying or something, then you can move the baby and that's going to be okay. The Shiloh the Poskim discuss is how come that case is not the same as tiltum min hatzad. Tiltum min hatzad, remember, means I use a mutra item to move an usher thing. When the baby's holding a stone, how come I'm more machmir? L'chorem, babies are mutter, stones are usher, right? So how come moving a baby who's holding a stone is more machmir? That's a very good question. It's a hard question to answer. But that's a din in the Mishnah, we'll leave it. The Gemara does say that even worse than the stone is if the baby is holding a coin, Because then I'm worried that because the coin is something that you really desire, so then it's going to be more problematic because you might come and try to grab the coin yourself. So that's a bigger issue when they're carrying coins, etc.
But you don't want them to choke on their phone. What if there's something there in the
Now,
bag?
so if the concern is that the baby's going to choke, of course you're allowed to move it. Of course you're allowed to move it. Here, this is, let me read it to you. This is why I like this book. Like, I can just find stuff easily. So page 230, it says, one is not permitted to carry a child who's holding muktzah. For example, one may not carry a child if the child is playing with a stone. Therefore, if a child is holding muktzah is to be moved, the parent should wait until the child drops the muktzah or try to distract the child into dropping the stone. If the child is dependent on the parent and is in the situation where the child will become upset if left there, the case is likened to cases involving moving muktzah for a sick person, right? Meaning, chol she'ein bo sakana, and therefore the child can be moved while holding the muktzah. Whereas a child who's dependent on the parent may be carried along with the muktzah in his hand, a child who's holding money or other valuable muktzah items should not be carried. Chazal feared that the parent might inadvertently carry the money if it drops. Some posts can rule the parent may not even take the child by his hand and walk with him because the child might drop the money and the parent might inadvertently carry it. It is advisable to conduct yourself according to this opinion unless there is a pressing need. Right, so that's the basic halacha, etc. So, right, so these are the dinim of moving muktzah that we spoke about, tota begufo, tota menatzad, and moving the muktzah al yedei, the kid. How come, right, we consider somehow that total tinok for Eben Biyado is like total muktzah biyadayim, and it's more chumer than total menatzad? That's a great mystery. We're not exactly sure how to answer that kasha.
And these go for all muktzah.
Again,
These go for all muktzah.
all muktzah, perhaps with one exception.
The muktzah.
So muktzah machmas kesarin kis. Let me give it away to you. Which is the one that you wanted to mention?
Muktzah. That doesn't make any sense.
Muktzah machmas
It
heter.
doesn't.
I mean, we'll talk about klishim laftol heter
Yeah.
in a few minutes. But if you look, okay, just to, huh?
Two times to say that.
Okay. So if you look on page 10, there's a Prima Gadim that I quote in middle of page 10, where we'll talk about this later on. Basically, the Prima Gadim has a chiddush, which is not accepted according to many, that if something is muktzah machmas kesarin kis, there is no heter even of tiltal min hatzad. Muktzah machmas kesarin kis could be even worse than muktzah machmas gufo. Okay? We'll discuss this later on, but the basic idea, in a nutshell, pardon, is that tiltal, everything has to do with nuts, right? That was my. Most items which are muktzah, the pshat is that they have no purpose. Muktzah machmas chesaron kis is a more severe form of muktzah in that I push it aside. I am making it that I don't want it. It's considered based on my maisa that it is not a thing, rather than, right, just inherently not being a thing. Let me say it again. A stone, by definition, is useless. Agreed? Fine. My cell phone is useful. The thing is, a cell phone, assuming it's muktzah machmas kesarin kis, the pshat is I am designating this item only for cell phone uses, which are dafka non-Shabbos uses. So it is ki'ilu that it's hiktza biyadayim. It's ki'ilu like I push it aside, as opposed to something which naturally is pushed aside, right? A stone, by definition, has no use. But because by definition it has no you, so therefore I'm makel that if it's not really that I'm moving it, if it's like a total min hatzad, or if it's a total begufo, so that's okay on the stone. But the prima godim has a chiddush that muktza machmas chesaron kis, precisely because I push it aside, right? That's the way I was trying to explain that. I'm pushing it aside, so therefore it makes it worse. And therefore, I am not even allowed to use tilto min hatzad or muktzah machmas chesaron kis. That is the chiddush of the Prima Godim. In Chacham Ovadia Yosef has a sefer Liv Yatchein on Hilchos Shabbos. There he quotes that many Acharonim disagree with it. A number of years ago, a long time ago, so the following shaila came up. Someone had, it's Shabbos of Sukkos, so we don't shake our lulav on Shabbos of Sukkos, right? A lulav is on the table. What's the status of that lulav that's on the table? So usually a lulav is just etzem, it's plain wood, which is muktzeh machmas gufo. But my lulav during Sukkos might be muktzeh machmas chesaron kis, no? Well, it's Shabbos of Sukkos, but it's on Sukkos, right? I don't want my lulav to get passled or puzzled or whatever the term is. So, am I allowed to move the lulav with something else? Is there a heter to, let's say, take a fork and push my lulav off to the side, or take my elbow and move the lulav, right? How did you do it before? Right, it may pick up my lulav again. It might be more risky for the lulav if you try to use like the elbow pincers. But the Prima Godim would say that's usur.
Both using non-mux item
The
and
Prima Godim says that you cannot do tiltal min hatzad on muksa machmas chesaron kis, and then he has a lashon that there is no tzad heter l'taltalo. There is no heter at all to move muktzeh machmas chesaron kis. On some level, according to this Prima Godim, muktzeh machmas chesaron kis is the most severe form of muktzeh, and there is zero heter to ever move it. So my lulav on Shabbos of Sukkos, right? What do I do? Right? I leave it there, and I say, yes, you can see it's a beautiful centerpiece that we have. It's called lulav. It's so nice, etc. I think that, right, according to the Prima Godim. But those Acharonim who disagree with the Prima Godim say it's okay with Tiltal Min Hatzad, or Tiltal Begufo. Chacham Ovadia Yosef writes that that is the majority opinion of Acharonim. Okay, the majority opinion is not to follow this Prima Godim.
Yep.
What?
You sound like you're like
Okay, so I'll tell you the story. This happened in my former father-in-law's shul. That someone left his lulav on the table, and then it's Shabbos of Sukkos, and the lulav's there beforehand. So the rabbi's like all nervous about what to do, and he's like, "Oh, the Prima Godim says it's a problem." So I told him, "Yeah, but Chacham Ovadia says it's okay because most Achrim say that." So he said something to the effect of, "Well, Chacham Ovadia is a Sfaradi." So like, I wasn't interested in like engaging in this conversation anymore. But yeah,
what do you
I wasn't the balabas over there. Like, it wasn't.
what do
There's a rav in the shul. I'm like a kid, right?
you call
If I have another lulav,
the bottom of the table so people have
think so. And I still want to use this one, right? In other words, I'm still careful that this lulav shouldn't get ruined. The fact I haven't, right? The reason I have two lulavim is probably because I have a need for two lulavim.
the last classic poem, like last day poem,
If
last
it's Hoshana Rabbah.
day poem. Yeah.
But Hoshana Rabbah is never going to be a Shabbos.
Okay.
Right? Calendar, right? Hoshana Rabbah will never be on Shabbos. Right? So again, the shy. So you're going to need your lulav the next day, no matter what. If there's only what?
You have a girl? It's
Can you have a girl? What your Shabbos girl?
you're like
Right, this is not a shaila I expected to get in GPATS. But so let's be honest, okay? Women, Ashkenazi women, we shake lulav and esrog, right? We assume that we get a mitzvah, we make a bracha on it, right? The fact that women don't have a chiyuv technically doesn't mean that, like, for women, it is not muktzeh machzeres chasarin kes.
Same Shiloh can come up with the shofar the first day of Rosh Hashanah.
Correct. It's the same Shiloh, right? Exactly the same
But
Shiloh.
I'm not value. So I don't care about
Even,
the
but come on, but you don't. You want to hear the mitzvah of shofar, you want to hear a shofar, and you don't want the shofar to get ruined, right? Yes.
Okay, come on, let's hear it. No, I just have a clarification question. I'm getting a little confused. Something like a remote control, is that that's mukta, that has a purpose. So it's not.
So is it a keli shem lachto le'is or is it muktzeh machzeres chasarin kis? So give me we'll have to flesh this issue out when we get to muktzeh machzeres chasarin kis.
Oh.
I'm not there yet. To define, I'm assuming, again, many, we saw the Archos Shabbos assumes that a cell phone is a kli shem lachto le'iser. I think a cell phone is more likely to be a muktzeh machmas chasarin kis, but again, maybe there's a difference between an iPhone and an Android. I don't know.
That's useful only on
During Shul.
Shabbos. Like its use is also on Shabbos. Is that useless? Is that
No, that could be a kli shem lachto le'iser.
even though it can be used for something else?
No, but what if there's something like what about a like a casual skirt that I wouldn't wear on Shabbos, but it's not malach l'iser?
Right. So again, we assume that begodim are not considered kli shem lachto le'iser, unless I'm in the sales business and I'm selling skirts. The begodim are assumed to be heter. Yeah, it's not something I'd wear. It's not something I'd wear on Shabbos, but theoretically, it's a beged. I could wear it. I could wear a weekday skirt and a backpack. Also, it's something that's again, it's something that's theoretically usable on Shabbos,
But if
but.
there's something in it, then it becomes
Again,
a problem. I just don't
if
want
it's a busis, an empty
I'm
notebook,
not
okay,
gonna write
so
it.
plain paper, right, or an
Plain
empty
paper.
notebook. So this is a big discussion. When I was in 11th grade, so Rabbi Yehoshua Kalish, my 11th grade Rebbe, we did Shmir Shabbos Kol Chas. I was like the what's it called? I was like the halacha lima for a few minutes, like before shiur. And he saw that the Shmir Shabbos says that paper is muktzah machmas v'sarin kis because no one would use plain paper for anything else. So Rabbi Kalish, like we wrote down shaylas to Rav Neubert, the author of Shmir Shabbos, and like he mailed him a letter. I don't think we ever got a response. But one of the shaylas he says, like maybe this is only true in Israel, not in America. In America, people don't really care that much. About their paper. I think that's what Rabbi Kalish thought, which I think makes a lot of sense that we're not that makbid on our paper today that it's called that it should be considered muktzeh machmas v'sarin kis.
But that's
Rav Moshe Feinstein writes, where is it? Ramosha in one of these tshuvas. That's so what Rav Moshe says. One second. Rav Moshe has an interesting question, which is what we said before at the very beginning, that something which is not a kli at all. Here. If you remember, we saw something that's not a kli at all, so that is a worse form of muksa. So this is tshuva yud zayin. Here, ha'im mutar le'tshuva tes zayin. Ha'im mutar le'taltom niyar chalak le'tzrach gufo mekomo. Can you move plain paper, right? In other words, is it a kli shamach le'iser? So Rav Moshe says it's aser b'tiltol. The niyar chalak is not a kli. But if you remember, we discussed earlier that like soap is not a kli, right? And therefore it's like a stick, right? That's what we saw, right? That there's a din of kalim and a din of stuff that's not kalim. If it's not a kli, it's worse. So Moshe says paper is not a kli. Kishasha'alti az mipi maran, she Elo she'elo echad echadin legabe mitbechot niyar, napkins and tissues, are they mukta? So he says that tissues are not mukta because it's meant to use to clean up. Napkins are not mukta. But these, but he says, but that these napkins, which you own, I'm not sure what he means. I'd have to read it more carefully. But basically, he's assuming that blank paper is not a keli, and therefore you cannot move it. Letzora gufa umakoma. What about if I have a notebook and there are some pages that have stuff in it and other pages don't? So Moshe says you're allowed to mutar nadafte da machberet kulo choshev kli bavali bahavi dapim elu chilak meyakli. The whole notebook is one keli, so I can move the notebook. So then I asked, is the same thing true by a loose leaf? Because maybe by a loose leaf, since you could take the pages out, so it's not that the whole thing is considered a keli. So Moshe says it's toloi be'eze tzorech chidron. Is it because, in other words, if I'm putting it together in the loose leaf, because I might write on these papers, so therefore, one second. If I attach all of the papers at the beginning, so it becomes like a notebook. In other words, it's there because I might want to write on those papers later on. But if it's just because I don't want to attach an ofen yoser kavu, I don't understand why, then it's more of a problem by the loose leaf. Again, I have to figure it out exactly what he means. I'd have to concentrate more on what he's saying. But basically, for what's the status of plain paper? So Reb Shlomo Zalman in the Shmir Shabbos wants to say that it's muksa machmas v'sarin kis. The pashtus is, it's like a klisha machtola iser. But Rav Moshe wants to say it's like muksa machmas gufo. Now, this is an interesting question, I thought, in terms of how do I define a kli? Is a kli an instrument that I do something with? But if something is done on something, maybe that's not a kli. I gave a chabur about this in Maharsha Kol a long time ago. So Reb Kiva Eger has a suffolk in Simin Shin Tes about a candle. Is a candle considered a kli shemachdola iser? There are whole conversations about candles. Maybe it's a candle kol is a kli shem kol kulo iser, etc. Reb Kiva Eger entertains the idea that maybe a candle is not a kli at all because something is done on it. It doesn't do something. But the majority shita in poskim is that a candle is considered a keli, and that's what we saw in discussion in the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan. Is the candle like a kli shekol melachtola iser, or is there no separate category of kli shekol melachtola iser, etc. That means that something that I do something on is considered a kli. So I don't really understand the svara why a plain piece of paper is not a kli at all. It's hard to understand because it's used for something to be written on. Now, if that's the case, then soap also, a bar of soap, right? Well, that's a story over there. So I thought that the svara that a bar of soap is not a kli is also not such a great svara because it's usable for something, for washing my body. Elamai, a plain piece of soap, might be a kli shekol melachtola iser, which the Aruch HaShulchan is machmir on, but the Mishnah Berurah is mekel. Okay, so it's just going back, way back when. I give you, I don't know, it's on one of these pages, I give you a discussion about bars of soap. You know, Dover She'eino Kli, where do I have that? I give that on, here. I have this stuff on page 3, going over to page 4. Right, so Rav Moshe is machmir on the soap, and Rav Moshe is a machmir on the paper. I'm not 1,000,000% sure that this is correct. I would say that it's kedai to be machmir if you hold of this din of something which is kol kulo le'iser, klisha kulo le'iser. But The pashtus is the paper is something, it's usable. I do something on it. The soap is usable. I do something with it. I'd assume that is considered some sort of keli based on that. But again, Rav Moshe, I give you the Rav Moshe on page 3 and page 4. An instrument. Something
Doesn't need
that
a
I don't
okay.
think it has a kli like Maseches Kalim. That means like a base kibble, and it depends whether it's machzik, arba imsa'ah, right? I don't think those are the rules. Like, we're not talking about Tumen Tahara. It means an instrument. Yeah. Okay. So these conversations that we had so far is about moving mukta in a way which halachically is not really considered moving the mukta, meaning tilto min hatzad and tilto begufo, etc. And there's a kula of graf shori'i, and there's a kula of l'shem hezek. That's what we learned. And then we have this chumra of the prima godim that maybe mukta machmas chisaron kis is the worst form of mukta, and there's no heter at all to move it, but there's a number of achrenim who disagree. Okay, hello Tamar, how are you?
Bicycle.
A bicycle.
What? It is, I'm trying to find something which is not used for Isser.
Right.
But it is still a clue.
But we don't use it on Shabbos, but it's not really an Isser.
Right. Like that's where my
Right.
weekday skirt example came. So it's
Right.
like a
So,
maybe a big.
I hear your issue, but let's just talk about umbrellas. Okay? Let's start with umbrellas. So I guess I'll say it on the recorder. It's not such a chiddush. The Mishnah points out in Siman Shin Lamed Ches that an umbrella, right? Thank you. Exhibit A. So fundamentally, I think the Noda B'Yehuda, I have to look in Shin Lamed Ches, is the Noda B'Yehuda says one way, the Chasam Sofer says the other way. One of them want to say that it's usher to use an umbrella on Shabbos. It might be an isher d'orais of like making an ohel. The others say, no. It's meant to be opened and closed. It's not an isher ohel at all. It's an ohel arai entirely. So there's no isher of ohel. But somehow the minhag developed the Mishnah Berurah when he talks about umbrellas. He uses the Yiddish term parasol. I think in French also, a parasol is like some sort of umbrella. So there's a minhag not to use umbrellas on Shabbos. It's a long-standing minhag. Does that mean that my umbrella is a klisha machtel iser? Because I have a minhag not to use it. It's not really usser, right? Or a bicycle, right? Why do people not ride bicycles on Shabbos? All the sfarim say that tricycles are toys and you can use them. Bicycles are intended for transportation.
You might fix the chain falls off.
I might fix the chain if it falls off. Yeah, but let's be honest. Chazal make a special gezeira by musical instruments. They didn't make a special gezeira on what's it called? Some of the German achrayim want to say that there's the Sweet Yesh has a tshuva about this, that transportation is usher on Shabbos. Right? You have to remember, in certain European countries, they have like a trolley that goes around and around and around, and like you don't pay any money, you jump on and like you get off. Right? So you're allowed to ride the trolley on Shabbos. I think in some communities in Florida where like people live, they have like these shuttle buses that go around and around the whole time, and they're going to travel. You're not adding anything. Your weight doesn't make more gas burn or anything like that. There's a practice that we don't use transportation on Shabbos. Some of the German achrayim say that just like the Gemara writes that I shouldn't ride a horse on Shabbos because I might break off a branch and say, "Hi ho, silver away," and like make the horse go faster. Right? Maybe if I'm riding a trolley or a bicycle, I might break off a branch and make the bicycle go faster. Well, it don't work like that. Right? That's not how bicycles work. But there is a sefer, the Menucha Nechona, Menucha Ahava, or something, who answers using bicycles on Shabbos. And the standard practice is that people don't use bicycles on Shabbos, etc. That's the standard practice. Ikardin is probably okay, but the minig developed not to. The poskim in the Archos Shabbos, he says something that we don't use because of a minhag, and it's a long-standing minhag, so that is going to be it becomes a klisha lachdola iser. So therefore, my umbrella is a klisha lachdola iser. That's what he says. Let me just tell you one story. My son Yosef Dov was born on Shabbos Yom Kippur. His bris was on Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Okay? Now there is no mohel on the heights. Fortunately, I have a former brother-in-law who learned Mila. He, what?
Yeah,
the Katzenstein was not staying in the Heights for Sukkot that year because no one wants to stay in the Heights for Sukkot. Okay, Klal Gadol. Yontiv is hard everywhere. Sukkot is much harder in the Heights than in most other places. You have to schlep the food five flights up, five flights down. It's a disaster. Sukkot is not fun. So we're making a bris, Shabbos Chol HaMoed Sukkos. We needed a mail. So my former brother-in-law had learned Mila. The halacha in Shulchan Aruch is you can't do your first bris ever on the Shabbos. So Rav Shechter is making, he could do brisin on Shabbos. He could do the bris for Yosef Dov because he had done around 40 brisin in some hospitals in London. They practice on Arab babies. That's how they teach Mila. Okay.
We're going to let this first time ever.
Well, he did 40.
Oh my god!
So yeah, yeah. So
the when Katzenstein did ours, he said he had done 5,200
lists. Right. Yes, and Katzenstein did my first son, and yes, whatever. This is all b'di'evet b'di'evet. So now, my former brother-in-law did not want to spend. It was a 3-day yontif. You have to remember. I think your mother actually prepared the whole yontif for us because I just had a baby. So. 3-day yontiv, third day of 3-day yontiv is Yosef Dov's bris. My former brother-in-law didn't want to spend all 3 days yontiv, so he called some Truman posek in Lakewood who told him how to make an Erev Truman to get from Kew Gardens to the Heights on the Triborough Bridge, and he gave him a kula to ride a bicycle. Okay, so he rides a bicycle on the second day of yontiv.
Yeah.
Well, no, I mean, his wife and kids didn't want him to spend a 3-day yontiv in the Heights. And, okay, it's legit. I understand that. So he rode a bicycle, and we made an Erev Tchum, and he rode a bicycle. So at the Shalom Zachar Friday night, so we're in the Wayu Sukkah. So Rav Shachter is there at the Shalom Zachar, and Rav Mantel, the Rav of Breuers, is there. And like my former brother-in-law was saying about how he got there, I did the Erev Truman, riding a bicycle, etc. So Matos, wow, that's fascinating. The Posek in Lakewood, amazing. I was like, I don't think it's permitted. So he's here. Like, and we're not sending him back. So that was the story. So like riding a bicycle on Shabbos, like this Lakewood Posek said that, yeah, the only one who says it's usher is like the sefer Menucha Ahava, Menucha Nechona, whatever it is. He says not to ride bicycles on Shabbos, but Meikar Din, it's okay. In a case like this, he gave him the heter, and Rav Shechter was like, I don't think it's permitted. So I don't know. That's the story. I don't know. I was like not like so engaged in that conversation. What? Yeah, well, I was not that engaged in the conversation. What can I say? But that was that story. There was one other mile. What?
Like that's just another exception. Like, okay, suppose I've already thought of this question of something that you could in theory use on Shabbos, but you don't.
Right.
And is that called a minhag, or that's just
so again? So with the umbrella, there's a long-standing minhag. I would say my weekday clothing. The pshat is, I didn't push it aside. Let's say all my Shabbos clothing would be dirty. Would I wear a weekday skirt? Probably.
Is it a kli?
What?
Well, so we said begadim are anyway different. Is it a
kli? So again, begadim is not considered a kli, which makes it even better, right? Which means that there's less of a reason why it should be a problem. Yeah, so again, unless you're in the skirt selling business, in which case the skirts are considered muksa machmas chasarin kiss. If I have a business, I sell skirts out of my basement, so I'm not going to use my skirt for any other purpose, so it becomes muksa machmas chasarin kiss, even though it's not particularly expensive. Right?
A projector.
A what?
Projector.
A projector, yeah.
A projector screen.
Yeah, we used to have those in these rooms,
yeah.
No?
Okay. So it's not usher, because you project things onto it, right. But I would never use it on Shabbos. And it probably is a clue.
Right.
So
again, so I don't know if that even rises to the level of minhag that I don't use it on Shabbos. I think it's just like.
Yes, yeah, so what is that? Is that Mukta Machba Gufo or
So
Moksha
I would say it's probably not Muksa Mahmas Gufo. It's a useful thing. It has a use.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Muksa Mahmas Kiss because it's not something that bedafka you really care that much about. It could be it's an item which is not really Muksa.
That would be shocking, no? Just it's not mostly because it doesn't fit into any of the categories.
That's correct.
So did that appear?
I mean, as we ha we're gonna have to we're gonna be briskers. It has to fall into a category. Again, remember, you have to remember, we paskin, there's machlokes Reb Yehuda and Reb Shimon. We paskin like Reb Shimon that there's that we do not hold of muktzah. What that means is that a stam item is assumed to be designated that I am allowed to use it on Shabbos, as opposed to the Tan Reb Yehuda assumes that stam item is not allowed to be used on Shabbos.
A Shabbos alarm clock, like it's useful on Shabbos, but you can't like change the
Okay, so again, so that's why if you remember, he the Urchel Shabbos had a story that he wanted to say that my cell phone is Machdol Issa and Lehetzer because I also use it as an alarm clock, right? Most poskim assume that there are gezeiros that Chazal made about, let's say, I should ain you can't ain koron or haner. I'm not allowed to read when there's a lamp nearby because I might tilt the lamp, I might make it go up and go down, etc. Most poskim assume that there is no such gezeira that's made that I may push buttons. Right? Chazal don't make a Chazal do not make a gezeira that I might push buttons. That's the pashas. Ramosh has a tshuva about this.
So you can move your alarm post,
I think so,
like
yeah.
regular, like
In
regularly.
other words, if my alarm clock begins to go off, so I could cover it with pillows. Or I think I'm allowed to move it. Yeah.
Regularly. It's saying in the surah on Shabbos, the big thing is like, no, you can move your fan.
Again, what can you do?
Move your fan.
Yeah, you can move your fans, right? That's all the postings say. Well, that's considered klisham lachdol iser, perhaps, letzorech gufo mekomo, because if it's blowing on me, I don't, right? I want to move the air somewhere else. So that's going to be, yeah, so that's considered Sarah Fufo Makomo. He has.
Steel doing some cutting. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everything is like, yeah, literally, like, everything is mixed up, and then nothing's like,
And he has a discussion somewhere about here. He talks about a fan, right? Here, this is tshuva number eight, but a mechon, a fan, acher. So he says it's mutter, it's considered tzorech gufo. That's considered going to be okay. He has a tshuva about whether you have to tape up the buttons on like one of these kelim, where there are buttons you can push. We don't do that. Chazal made specific gezeiras by like. By Ein Koren L'Ohr HaNer, they didn't make special gezeiras by these things. I think that's the pashtos. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions, comments, observations?
Thank you for engaging with
Well, this is fun. I mean, this is what we're supposed to be doing, right? We're learning together. That's the goal. Okay.